Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Welcome to this Foster Care Month edition of Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is an incredible young man from right here in the Capital Region, Stephen Stewart. Stephen is a student at Russell Sage, majoring in music therapy. He's an anointed worship leader, a youth pastor at City Church in Albany. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So, Stephen, you've got all these good things going on. You're a successful guy, but you didn't have so great a start. You spent a lot of time in your childhood bouncing around the foster care system. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah. Yep. So my parents were not married when they had me, and they were pretty young. They were around 20, much younger than I am now. I'm 27, so it's hard to imagine having kids at 20 when you aren't really ready for it, but yeah, they did have me, and after around 5 or so years, my dad actually went to prison. I'm not even sure what he did. I think just something dumb, just made some sort of stupid mistake. And during that time, my mom was struggling with drugs, and so she was encouraged to put us into care. So I wanted to, what was the question again?
Just tell us about you're doing a great job. So I believe it was, you were 6 when you went into foster care.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, bring us to about the age of 12. What happened from 6 to 12?
Okay,
how about that?
Yeah. So I went into foster care when I was around 6 and did like a little bouncing around. So started in one home. I separated from my brother and sister, which is pretty sad. And I was on my own and was there for a while, and then left that home to go back with my mom. And then I'm not sure what happened. She sent us into foster care again. I went into a group home for a while, and then went to a foster home for around 5-ish years, all the way from like 7 to 12. And yeah, it was, they were really good to me. They didn't abuse me or anything, but I was really lonely. I definitely felt like I didn't have a home, even though they took good care of me. I felt like an orphan. I felt pretty jealous of the kids that were there that belonged to the parents, and it was just a pretty like lonely, sad time. I was pretty confused and shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know why it was happening, or like if I'd done something wrong, or like how to fix the situation I was in. I just kind of was along for the ride, and I had to, there's a lot of rules with the home and stuff, so I had to I couldn't go into their bedroom, so I used to sleep outside in the hallway.
Like if you were scared?
If I was scared at night and stuff. And I think that just kind of is a good example of just where I was at. I was lonely and confused and just really wanted a normal life. But
And it must have been just devastating to be separated from your siblings, because you had a brother and a sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really missed them. I really did feel all alone. I missed my brother and my sister. They were separated from me right off the bat when I was 6. So,
wow.
So basically, from as far back as I could remember, I felt pretty alone.
So now, about age 12, you went back with your mom for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my mom got custody of us again after, working pretty hard to do that, and we all went back to live with her for a while. And anyways, she started partying and using again. She kept it pretty secret, but but it became pretty obvious.
And it was during those years that you were back with your mom that you actually got a camp job at an Episcopal camp. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, like, things weren't too great at home. There was, like, a lot of fighting, a lot of stuff going on. And I just kind of wanted to get away for the summer. So through the Boys and Girls Club, I had gotten a summer camp job with a summer camp. It was a Christian summer camp. So I went away there when I was like 15 or so and just worked for the summer and did a terrible job trying to like fix stuff. And I couldn't do it. I was like a maintenance helper. And I just was a really bad work ethic. But I really enjoyed the atmosphere and kind of wanted what the other kids had there, just to, you know, be normal, hang out, and I really enjoyed it. So I kind of, after I left that that camp, I was invited to a youth group of the director of the camp, and it was back in Schenectady where I live. So I started to go. So I started to go to youth group.
Wow.
when I was 15, and it was really fun. I loved it. I think it was mainly to see a girl, though, to be honest.
That's oftentimes a motivation for a 15-year-old boy to go to youth group is the girls that are there. So we can't deny that. So now that church was that Christ Church Schenectady?
So that's where the youth group was, is Christ Church Schenectady.
Okay. Yeah. So then that brings us to that night that you left your mom's home for the last time. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So one night things were pretty bad. I'd been going to the youth group, but at home things were going pretty bad. And one night my mom and brother were really fighting, and it was getting kind of like intense and loud and violent. And I just was like, I don't belong here. I can't be here anymore. We were in the ghetto and stuff. It just didn't feel healthy. Like I don't think I belong here. So, honestly, this just came to mind. I'd really been praying and stuff too, like that something would work out, that something would change. And I called my youth pastor and was like, I'm moving out and I'm going to go take care of myself. I'm going to go get an apartment and a job and I'm going to take care of myself. And she was like, nah, that's not a good idea. You're going to like die. So she offered and mentioned that there was a couple at the church that was interested in letting me come live with them. And so she basically called them that night. They prayed about it and felt like it was the right decision to let me come stay with them that night. So they came and picked me up, and my mom was gracious enough to allow that. And I think she even signed something to let that happen.
Wow.
And let me go live with this couple. So
now, who's the couple? Can you share who that was?
Mm-hmm. Their names are Tor and Jean Bissell, and they're awesome.
You said they were a retired missionary couple.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're missionaries in Liberia for like 15 years or
wow.
pretty long time with a bunch of kids. But at the time I went to live with them, they were in their 70s. So.
Wow. So, you know, you would think that a 70-year-old retired missionary couple would be just thinking retirement, and mm-hmm. here they open the door of their home to, you were 17 at the time?
I was just about to turn 16.
Just about to turn 16. That's right.
And I really acted like it.
And you were and that just sounds like it's a turning point. It was a turning point in your life. I just want to remind our listeners, that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about foster care and adoption, you can visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Stephen Stewart, a Russell Sage music therapy student, a youth pastor at City Church in Albany, an anointed worship leader, but he was also a former foster kid. Now, Stephen, you said you're 27 now. You bounced around the foster care system from age 6 to 15. And then just before you turned 16, a local couple from Schenectady, Tor and Jean Bissell, took you into their home. They weren't foster parents, right? They weren't. They were just an older retired missionary couple at the church that you attended youth group at, and they opened their home to you. So tell us what that experience was like.
Yeah. So like right off the bat, I came into the house, and it just felt like a safe place, like a blessed place, like somewhere where I didn't have to be so much on guard, like on have walls up. And so I came in, and they just were awesome. They really loved me. They really, I was a pretty, I don't think I was very easygoing as a teenager. I was, you know, they used to say, I love you. And they'd say, like, you could call me like mom and dad. And I'd be like, I don't want to say that. and I don't need a mom and dad because I raised myself. And I was a little like, you know, I was a little rude and stuff, but they just really consistently loved me. And kind of no matter what I would throw at them, they just loved me. And it just felt different. It felt safe. It felt like a place where I could process and heal and grow. And it was a pretty special time. I felt like a normal, like, kid. I felt like I have like a relatively normal family now, and it's pretty nice.
So you shared with me that they spent a lot of time praying.
Yeah.
And that had an impact on you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so they every morning Tor would wake up at like 2 or 3 and he'd pray, and eventually Gene would join him. They'd be praying together, and I know they prayed for me a lot, and I think it was pretty important in my life and in my growth and my relationship with God. Was they were just praying for me all the time, and they did a really good job of loving me and not really trying to change me, just loving me and praying for me and just being like examples of the love that they know from God, and of just giving that back to me. So
wow. So the Bissells basically loved you into the kingdom. So share with us the night that you did surrender your life to the Lord.
Yeah, they loved me big time, and were awesome examples, but I was kind of on my own sort of path too, of just like of kind of doing my own thing. I was partying a lot, and I'd become like thinking I was cool a little bit in high school, and like trying to I was partying a lot, and I wasn't taking very good care of myself, and I don't want to like overshare, but I felt terrible. I like wasn't sleeping. I was partying like nonstop, and one night I was just up really sick, and I hid all this from Tor and Gina, and I felt horrible. I actually felt like I was in danger, like, because I felt so bad. And so I started to pray, and I asked God to help me feel better, and that I'd start really like following him, and I instantly just felt better. It was totally miraculous. It was so rad. I felt better. I just sort of like sat up and was like, okay, cool. I feel great. And I just sat there and prayed for a couple hours, and like I felt like I was talking with God, like I was, you know, finally having like a conversation with him, and I felt like these dreams and like these goals start to develop that night. I could, you know, all I did was play the drums at that time a little bit, and I felt like I could hear melodies and hear songs that someday I might write, and I didn't, and you know, pretty soon after I started playing guitar and singing, but at the time I just was, you know, just sort of playing the drums, and I felt just that the sense that God has been with me through all of the stuff I went through, and it just felt like a healing moment between me and God. Like, he's always been with me. I wasn't alone through that whole sad process of like foster care and growing up without a family. So,
did your life kind of change after that?
Oh yeah, yeah. So like, so the next day I kind of held up like my end of the bargain, which was I'll try to like live for God. So I basically stopped hanging out with anyone who was partying, which I don't know, might have been kind of messed up to them because I did have some good friends, but it felt like the right thing to do was to stop hanging out in that sort of environment, stop partying. And I started hanging out with my youth group all the time. So, and they're still my best friends to this day. And, you know, something switched and changed. I started listening to, you know, different music a bit. I was listening to this band called Mute Math, and I would put them on my way to school and just like cry and like worship God and like call out to him just to like guide my life and stuff. And and that's kind of was my whole senior year of high school. It was just sort of seeking God. And then after high school, I went and went to Belfast to work with a church for a year and started doing stuff like that up until now.
So that Christian camp, and then the director of the camp who invited you to youth group, the youth group, your youth group leader, all of those people really had a positive influence on your life. But the Bissells really were instrumental. So, mm-hmm. Stephen, do you believe that the Bissells, a Christian family, made the real difference?
Yeah, they were huge in my life. They gave the safe home that they gave me was, I think, I can't, it was so important, I think, for me. I had a place where I felt loved, where I felt safe, where I felt like I could process and heal, and they were relentless with their love too. No matter how lame I was, they just kept giving me love, and their example was pretty amazing. And really, they're my parents. They became my parents. They took me in as their own kid, and really made me feel like I was their own. I don't feel like a second class citizen with them. They loved me like their own.
Yeah.
And it made a big difference for me.
And there's family love, which you got, but there's also the love of God, which that's the life-changing love. And it seems to me that when you went into the Bissell's home, that safety that you felt was really the presence of God in their home.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I actually wrote a song about that recently, and it's like where I really found my home was when I found my relationship with God, because that goes with me everywhere. You know, I have that presence now, and I have that home now, and it's cool because, you know, I'm not an orphan anymore because I have a father in heaven who has who loves me perfectly, and that's made a huge difference for me and helped me heal a lot. And I'm still learning that, just how amazing that love is. It's so much deeper than I even know now. I'm excited to get to know God better and better.
Wow. So today you even volunteer at Parsons, the foster care, one of the foster agencies here in Albany. You do music therapy with the kids, so you're investing your redeemed life into foster kids. So what would you say to our listeners who might be considering becoming foster parents, and, you know, they're afraid of those kids, that those teenage boys, come on, you were one. Mm-hmm. So you know how unlovable, you know, especially teen boys say can be in the system. So what mm-hmm. would you say to listeners considering foster care?
I'd say like love them where they're at, because that's kind of what God does with us. It's kind of God's job to change people. It's our job to really like love people, I think, and love them and give them a safe place, a home, a blessed home, like an anointed home, and pray for them, intercede for them as much as you can, because those are the things that I think made a big difference with me. Teenage boys seem pretty might seem scary, but you know, if they grew up in foster care, they're kind of broken children who really need to see the love of God and feel that love and to create a home where they can start to let their guard down and let themselves feel safe and not feel like they need to be running away or hiding. It took years for me to really come out of that place.
And you learned to trust Tor and Jean because of their love. You mentioned something that you felt was important was they didn't try to change you. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we can get caught up in, you know, here come, you know, we bring a broken kid into our family and we want to teach them and we want to fix them and we want to correct their behavior. And we kind of are, it's very easy to focus on the outward, the behaviors and the attitudes and that kind of thing. But it's really connecting with a kid and building that trust and to be able to get them to that place where they can feel safe and really experience the love of God. Mm-hmm. So that, would you agree with that? Would you say that that's the most important thing?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I did learn to trust them, a lot. Tor was always there for me, which was amazing. And pretty often I had problems or stuff come up and I'd ask Tor to help and he'd always be ready to help. Just an extravagant man who loves extravagantly. And Jean, I just trusted with, she just was so transparent. I felt like I never was like wondering like, what is she think about me? I always kind of knew where Jean was at and I really appreciated that. It really helped me learn to trust her. And everyone's different, and that's just what I helped me learn to trust them. They're both beautiful people. So
do you think there should be more Christian families that become foster families?
Totally. I mean, why not? Like someone who knows God's love, I think is pretty effective in showing God's love. And I think for some people, they really need to know God's love to feel to grow and to change and to have dreams and goals and to step into who we are and into our destinies. I think it helps to have someone who feels that and knows that love too. It did for me, at least.
So there should be more homes like the Bissells. There are hundreds of kids in the capital region who need to experience God's love through a Christian foster family. So, Stephen, you've recorded an album about your story. How could our listeners find your music?
Wow, cool. So, like, it's called Stephen S., and the album's called And Home Is Where You Are.
So YouTube, right? We can go to, is it YouTube or iTunes?
iTunes. And Amazon. iTunes. You can find it on both of those.
So oh, cool.
Stephen S., And Home Is Where You Are. Meaning, and home is where you are, God. So
right.
That's what I learned. So
God is the you in that home is
that's
where
right,
you
yeah,
are.
That's right, yeah.
So what are your plans for the future? How much more college do you have?
I've got another year left, and I'm going to just finish that up because I feel like it's the right thing to do, and I'll keep doing youth ministry, I bet, and keep working on music. I'm working on another album right now, so try to finish that up. And I'm not sure. Just kind of go wherever I feel God's leading and just keep pressing into my destiny and hopefully get married someday soon and stuff like that. So.
A pretty normal, pretty normal goals, but
yeah.
We know that you're really seeking God for your future.
That's my number one goal, is
your
to
number one
be
goal.
Intimate with God and
That's
to know
right.
Him as much as I can. So.
That is right. Well, I just thank you for being transparent and sharing your story with us, because a lot of times we just hear the bad stories, you know, the stuff that makes the news or, you know, foster care, stories that are just disastrous. But we see, you know, your life is kind of an exception to all of that. And the key factor, the key difference is the love of God. which the Bissells showed you and your youth group leader showed you and your youth group, and that made all the difference. So our hope is that more Christian families will consider how they can have that impact on a foster kid's life. So we have one exciting event coming up, and Stephen is going to be there with us, our Love in Action brunch. Justice for Orphans is hosting again. It's on Wednesday, May 25th at Loudonville Community Church. You can come out and meet Stephen. He's going to open our worship time, so you're going to get to hear his music, and he's going to share his testimony again. I'll be there, my whole JFO team, and we have a lineup of New York pastors who have stepped up for foster youth, pastors who have adopted, pastors who have been foster parents, who are fostering. You want to join us for Love in Action as we engage and equip the church towards foster care. And you can get all of the details and free online registration at justicefororphans.org. There's another exciting event coming up that you can participate in. May is National Foster Care Month, and Albany County Department for Children and Youth and Families is hosting their 7th annual Foster Care Awareness Walk. It's at the Corning Preserve on Thursday, May 19th at 5 p.m. They're going to have lots of refreshments and ice cream and music and fun, and you just can come on out and walk a mile to raise awareness of the thousands of children in foster care who need families. You can bring your whole family out. It's a free event. It's open to the public, rain or shine. And you can learn more about this event by contacting Michelle Dow of Albany County at 518-447-4905. So you don't want to miss that on May 19th. And again, mark your calendar for our annual Love in Action event. Find out how you and your church can get activated towards foster care and adoption, whether you yourself are interested in becoming a foster parent, or maybe you just want to find out other ways that you can come alongside families who are already fostering, how you can get your church involved, how you can start a support group. There's so many ways that you can get involved and really be there for local kids in foster care.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.